Thanks, Phil. Good morning. Matt Jr. I'm not sure who's that more offensive to, me or Matt Walmsley. To be honest, I feel like if you were to order from Wish a preacher called Matt, I'm what was going to turn up. Not exactly what you expected on the box, is it really? But it's an absolute privilege to be here today and to talk through our next step in the Radical King series. And today we're going to look at Matthew, when this works. Oh, no, we're not going to look at anything. Sorry, it's over. We're actually going to look at Matthew 26, verses 1 to 5, the plot against Jesus. But I'm going to do that awful thing that everyone dreads doing. I'm going to stick some questions up and make you talk to each other. I'm really sorry. Is this going to go black again? It's going to go black again. What was it? Don't double click. Okay. It's going well, isn't it? How much of a planner are you? And what do you like to have control over in your life? Have a conversation. So who's willing to be brave enough to have the mic put under their noses and share with the rest of us what you like to plan and what you like to control? Don't make me get the 3, 2, 1 countdown out. Is there anyone who'd be willing to share with the rest of us what you like to plan and how much control you like to have? Anyone willing? Yes, thank you, Fiona.
Pretty much all the time. Pretty much everything.
Brilliant. Thank you.
I'm not a control freak, but there is a saying that if you fail to plan, you plan to fail.
It's far more inspiration than anything I'm going to say today. Interesting, fantastic. Well, when I was asked to preach a few months ago, I thought I'd get some encouragement from a good friend of mine and a member of our church family who's actually sitting here today. I won't point them out. And I showed him the passage that I was going to be preaching on. And his response was, "What on earth are you going to do with that?" Obviously, I walked away with huge amounts of confidence. But I have been blessed by some amazing, amazing people who, through the Spirit, have given me incredible guidance and advice in preparing this talk. And I felt I actually needed it, because there are a lot of people who've been standing where I'm standing who've said thanks to Matt Walmsley, who seemed to have gone on sabbatical just at the time for the tricky parts of Matthew. It's funny, that, isn't it? But as we know, every word of the Bible is the word of God. And he's given us this to learn to live for him. So even the tricky bits. So let's have a look at what we're reading today. Matthew 26, 1 to 5. When Jesus had finished saying all these things, he said to his disciples, "As you know, the Passover is 2 days away, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified. Then the chief priests and the elders of the people assembled in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and they schemed to arrest Jesus secretly and kill him. But not during the festival, they said, or there may be a riot among the people." You see, this passage comes at the end of Jesus completing so many teachings, all the parables and lessons that we've been looking and hearing about over the past few weeks. Jesus has become angry at what the temple had become in Matthew 21, 12 to 17. Taught on the power of faith and prayer in Matthew 21, 18 to 22. Taught on the need for true faith and the way to live life, not in a superficial way. Rebuked the ways of the Jewish leaders in Matthew 21, 33 to 46. Taught of who he was, what the greatest commandment is, and how one was to enter heaven in Matthew 22, went in on the Pharisees again in Matthew 23, taught how the end times would be known to be near in Matthew 24, and explained the need to be active and passive in our faith, significantly helping the poor in Matthew 25. Jesus has been on fire, giving guidance and a kick up the backside where it was needed. And now Jesus has finished saying these things. The tempo has changed. In an intimate moment with his disciples, Jesus tells of God's plan. Jesus prepares the disciples by giving the date of what is to come, how it will be, and the means in which he will die. Excuse me, what? Jesus gives us a date. The time of his death is imminent. It would have been far more comfortable for the disciples to hear Jesus predict a troublesome arrest and not that he would be handed over to be crucified. That would mean that they could attempt to stop it. An injustice that they could understand could be avoided. But this isn't what God has planned. God's plan is for an injustice where those who are willing to take it can have their punishment for sin removed. Some translations in this passage even say betrayed. Surely those who knew him best couldn't do that to him. For those not familiar with the story, we know that Jesus will be betrayed by one of those closest to him. The fact that Jesus has told these 12 that someone among them will be the one to betray him to his death must have been devastating. But this shows the disciples, as well as us, the failings of human beings. The fact that it's possible to look away from God and follow what we want to be our own path, which is inevitably going to be away from the comfort, the joy, and the glory of the Father. This shouldn't be news to us. Genesis tells of Adam's betrayal of God, and Paul talks of this in Romans. Ecclesiastes 7:29 states, "This only have I found. God created mankind upright, but they've gone in search of many schemes." People can let us down. Many of us in this room have felt the pain that comes from being betrayed in different ways. Jesus, as the Son of the Almighty, the Messiah, Jesus feels these emotions too. Sometimes we need to hear that God has felt what hurts through his Son on earth. But yet, there's more to this. Jesus has stated it will happen during the Passover. In Exodus 12, God gives Moses the message of how God's people will be passed over as punishment is given to the Egyptian ruler who enslaved and mistreated them. Moses was given the instruction for every Jewish family to sacrifice the lamb. This sacrifice of a lamb whose blood was to be used to mark over the doors of Jewish households would allow the final of the 10 plagues, the death of the firstborn, to pass over those and keep them safe. Sacrifice and blood were key to this. It's what God used to keep his people safe around 1,500 years before Jesus came to earth. But that Passover was temporary. To reconcile his people, God needed to do something even more sacrificial. This is it, and it's massive. Jesus is to die, spill his own blood in order to allow the punishment for sin to pass over those who are willing to paint it above their lives. He has given us, in this small statement today, the means to be closer to God. It is the conclusion to all his teachings leading up to this. Despite the temple becoming a den of thieves, he does this for us. Despite us not having enough faith in our lives and in our prayers, he does this for us. Despite us falling into superficial religion, he does this for us. Despite us not always being active in our faith, he does this for us. Despite us putting our own needs before the poor, he does this for us. And he does this for us willingly. On Good Friday this year, we reflected on how horrific this death would have been. The pain, the humiliation, and the discomfort. Through this action, Jesus experienced every kind of human emotion and pain so God can identify with us. But faced with the knowledge of crucifixion being my fate, I'd be doing anything to get myself out of there. I'd be having a word with my mates and coming up with any scheme or plot I could to get me as far away from that plan as possible. Who would want that? But Jesus merely states that it would happen, and he accepts it. He graciously puts God's plan first. Jesus has made plain in all his teachings to this point that we come up short. In our lives, we just come up short all the time. But in his incredible statement in our passage today, he means to make things right in our place. As the Christian author and commentator Tim Keller puts it, the Christian gospel is that I am so flawed that Jesus had to die for me, yet I am so loved and valued that Jesus was glad to die for me. This is not, though, where our passage ends today. Following Jesus' statement for the future, we are given the actions of the bad guys. When I first read this, I felt I wanted a narrator to announce, "Meanwhile, in the Legion of Doom," as I felt this was a plot of the villains in this story. Surely they are the people Jesus has been telling off and putting in their place for the last few chapters in Matthew. For those of us who call ourselves Christians, they are the bad guys. The Jewish leaders are plotting to arrest Jesus, while his service has been to make life better for those willing to follow him. Others are here plotting horrible things against him. But isn't that the reality for so many of us? It feels as though sometimes bad things in life can really be against us. People can do things, say things, and plan things that are really, really upsetting, traumatic, and can cause pain. The first thing I want to repeat, as I said earlier, Jesus has felt this pain too. Right here in this passage, and even more so as the story continues to the crucifixion, Jesus has felt the feelings we have when it seems like the world is against us. He has that connection so that God knows the suffering that we may have felt or even are feeling right now in this moment. But there is hope, and it's God's plan. Jesus volunteers right here in our passage so that the sin of the world that has distanced God and his people can be repaid. It proves that God wants the best for you and for me. In the story of Joseph in Genesis 50, all the way back in the first book of the Bible, it states, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Sound familiar? Joseph's brothers wanted to get rid of Joseph for their own gain. Excuse me. They didn't like the attention Joseph was getting from their father. They felt it was unfair. So they decided to take Joseph, throw him in a well, and sell him as a slave. Joseph, whilst in prison, for something he didn't even do, finds his gift of interpreting dreams, and in doing so, saves the people to whom he has been sold a slave. He becomes so influential that he is able to save his family and God's people. God used the original plot of evil to save Joseph's people from a famine that would otherwise have killed them. Don't the Jewish leaders want the same as Joseph's brothers? The Jewish leaders intended Jesus' harm, but God used it for good. The Jewish leaders intended for Jesus to disappear, but God used their plot to further his plan of making Jesus the most important person to walk on this earth. The Jewish leaders intended for Jesus to die unceremoniously, but God uses their plot to allow lives and souls to be saved, making his death and this event the most sacrificial, the most gracious, and the most sacred. And this event has been foreshadowed almost 1,800 years before Jesus' birth. God's plan has always come up on top, even when us human beings mess up. We can see that God intends good where there is bad in everyday life. This preach isn't about me, but if I had not had the child that I had, with the trauma that I faced, and twice creating situations of my own doing where I might not be standing alive here today, would I have come to know the grace of God? The actions, behavior, and plots of humans put me in a terrible place, but it was Jesus who pulled me back out. Jesus was always in control, and God's plan always wins. Caiaphas, the chief priest whose house this illicit meeting takes place, enjoyed the favor of the Romans. He had a really good relationship with them, and he really liked that status. He liked the power. He didn't want anyone or anything to threaten that. He enjoyed that status. He enjoyed his reputation, and he enjoyed his role in society. He liked the fact that he was in control. He played this role so well that in this meeting in our passage, it was decided that the arrest would not take place during Passover, as there may be a riot among the people. Guess what? Spoiler alert, that's when the arrest did happen. Because God needs people to see the symbolism of what it means that Jesus' death is a sacrifice for those willing to accept it. Again, Jesus was in control here, as always, and God's plan always wins. Sometimes, though, it's difficult to see where God's plan is. In the midst of difficulty and confusion in our lives, we try to make sense of what is going on. We can question where God is in things and why certain situations are happening to us or those that we love. It's important to remember that we might not understand God's plan until much later, if even at all. We know from the passage today that the statement Jesus has made about being plotted against and being handed over would have been devastating to the disciples. They had no idea what was going on. They didn't have an idea of the greater plan, not truly. But they had to give control and their understanding back to Jesus. Proverbs is a book in which the Bible, which is completely unique in the way that it gives clear instruction on how we should live our lives. In Proverbs 3, 5 to 6, it states, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths." You see, we can want control to make ourselves happy. And we can want control when things are confusing or difficult to understand. Jesus illustrates the giving in to God's greater plan perfectly. He illustrates the giving in to God's greater plan perfectly. He rests on the understanding of God and his plans because that is what God needs everyone to do. As I said earlier, it's easy for us to see the Jewish leaders as members of the Legion of Doom. We distance ourselves and we think of ourselves as completely different. In some ways, we are. We live 2,000 years later. We live knowing the end of the Easter story. And none of us would plot to kill Jesus. But how many of us rest on reputation, status, and the way others feel of our actions? The pastor and author Tyler Staton states, "We are all addicted to relating to people through a role. For years, we've been identifying ourselves by a particular function in the lives of others. We may do this consciously, like the Jewish leaders, making decisions and taking actions to protect that role and status. We may do it unconsciously, where we take actions to make others happy or to avoid a riot in our lives. Or we try to take control of the direction of our lives, situations, and relationships, and ignore the greater plan of God. Whether we like it or not, we can slip into this due to the fact that we don't live in a vacuum. And what goes on with others in the news and social media really does affect us. When things go wrong in relationships, we can desperately try to repair without considering what God's plan might be there. We apply and take on jobs that might not be quite right for us without considering God's plan. We avoid change because it's really so scary, but we don't consider what God might be planning for us there. The hope, as always, is Jesus. Because remember, Jesus didn't live in a vacuum either. The proof is here in this passage. He could have run away, called his disciples to action, and got himself as far away from God's plan, but he didn't. He volunteered. He did what sometimes comes so difficult to us. He executed God's plan. Jesus was in complete control, and with that control, he chose to show the greatest love of all. So where are we right now, 2,000 years later? Firstly, anyone here who wouldn't call themselves a Christian, Jesus has given an opportunity to have a relationship with God. You may have been here for a few weeks and where you've heard Jesus teach on how we are to live our lives. Here, Jesus has said that despite all of us, every single one of us falling short, he is willing to show the highest and best love to us by sacrificing himself to pay the debt we should be paying for the stuff that we get wrong. We just need to accept that Jesus is in control of that and every part of our lives. We can let go of that guilt, that shame, and that anger. Jesus is allowing that punishment to pass over us. And if you want to talk more on this, pray into it, please. The prayer ministry team will be up later. They'll be really happy to pray for you at the end of the service. Secondly, anyone here who feels that they perhaps needed a reminder that Jesus did what he did for us, give back control to him. Have you put status or reputation first? Have you feared the rioting of the people and avoided giving control to God? God's plan always wins, so let's make it easy and let the good that he has planned for us come into our lives. Again, bring it back to God. If you would like any help with this, pray with someone you trust or, again, a member of the prayer team and reach out to God to recommit your life to what he has planned. Jesus was always in control of what was going on in Matthew 26, 1-5, because he has been in control forever. God foreshadowed what was to happen. God has always made good where plots and actions seem to be hopeless. God has had this plan for much longer than the Jewish leaders could imagine. The religious leaders didn't want to kill Jesus on the Passover, but that's exactly when it happened. And Passover foreshadows Jesus' death. Jesus' death didn't happen by chance. It was a calculated act of love. Jesus is in control in hostility. Jesus is in control in the struggles. And Jesus was even in control of his own death. This control is so God's plan can come to fruition, the amazing plans he has for each and every one of us, as long as we ensure that we give Jesus that control. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we can never thank you enough for the grace that you have shown us. You sent your Son down to earth so that he could willingly sacrifice himself in place of us. We thank you for your plan. How you being in control allows us to live in the comfort knowing that good will come. We want to live in a way that gives you the control of the direction of our lives. Help us to lean on you when we come to situations where society expects us to lean on ourselves. When things are difficult, help us to lean on your understanding and not on our own. Lord, today, we again relinquish control to your plan. We want to ensure that everything we do points to you and helps your kingdom grow. Help us to give the world more of you and less of us. In Jesus' holy name, amen.